Good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you all. It's good to have my family able to be with us. And we are looking forward to a wonderful week. Appreciate the elders and the invitation to come and to spend this week with you and worship to our great God in spirit and in truth and to study His holy and divine word together. And as Brother Willis had mentioned there, that hopefully it will be a profitable week for you, and I'm sure it will be for me as I get to be encouraged by you as well. So thank you so much for being here this morning and look forward to this week with you. Romans chapter 10, I've had the scripture here, so hopefully you are already reading there a little bit. Romans chapter 10 is where we're going to be going. This is actually the series of lessons that we're going to be considering. And Romans chapter 10, we're going to go ahead and start off and let's read those four verses together. Paul says, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, the Apostle Paul is noted expressing his heart's desire, his heartfelt desire, his plea, his prayer, if you will, to the Lord God for the salvation of Israel, that they may be saved, right? His concern is quite apparent as he calls for a pursuit of the righteousness of God. Now, there's numerous things that Paul brings out in these few verses, really in reference to righteousness that we will consider together. Again, not altogether in this particular lesson this morning, in this Bible class part, but as we will go throughout this week, we're going to take this in parts. But the first question that we need to ask really is, what is the righteousness of God? What is the righteousness of God? What does Paul mean in speaking of the word righteousness? Well, when you go back to that passage, we're going to see there that, again, he says righteousness. It derives from a Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but meaning justice or righteousness, it is the quality of being in accordance with God's law. The Greek noun refers both to moral righteousness as well as legal justice. So basically, when you get down to it, it's about being right or justified in the sight of God. That's what it means. So as we go through this lesson, referring to the righteousness of God, I am referring to that which is attributable to the Lord God. That which is of the Lord's nature, the one who has established true righteousness. As the psalmist states in Psalm 89 and verse 14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." Also in Psalm chapter 19, verses 8 and 9, says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." Look at that. "Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true," and look at this, "and righteous altogether." There's a lot of passages that speak, of course, to the Lord's righteousness. And as one can note in just these few passages and more that we'll consider together in this lesson, knowing God's righteousness is imperative. God's righteousness is revealed through His Word, and thereby the way that one can be justified by faith in Christ. I would submit to you Romans chapter 1, a familiar passage to us, I'm sure, and what Paul says there, Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Look at this, verse 17. Sometimes we miss 17. We always talk about 16. We don't go to 17. But look at 17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So friends, how can one be justified? Let's ask that question. How can one be justified if they don't know the revealed righteousness of God? How can they? God reveals His righteousness in how one should live and how one should conduct their lives. That's pleasing in His sight, in His holy and divine word. Now with that, we're going to spend some time on what Paul specifically states in Romans 10 and verse 3. It says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." They being ignorant of God's righteousness. What were they doing? They were seeking to establish their own righteousness, and they had not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now that word ignorant in this passage derives from a Greek word. It just basically means to be ignorant, not know. It's referring to the state of being or having a lack of knowing or understanding something. And Paul is bringing out that they didn't know God's righteousness. Their condition is concerning to the Apostle Paul, and I would submit to you it should certainly be concerning to us today in 2023. As we endeavor in this study of really, I would submit to you, the ill effects or dangers of not knowing God's righteousness. There are ill effects. There's dangers. And what we must come to understand is that God desires for one to know Him. Not just have a mental acceptance that there is a God, but to know Him. And to know His righteousness. I'll submit to you, this is not a one-time deal, right? This is not a one-time deal. Rather, this is a constant process that involves words like growth, maturity, right? Those types of words. We might use the word abounding. We see the words attaining. We see the words established throughout the Scriptures. With that, go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you're turning over there, I do like to remind you, I will say this a couple times throughout this week, that you make sure to prove everything according to God's Word, not DJ's. DJ's fallible. You can ask my wife. I'm fallible, all right? So you make sure to prove it all, and don't leave here saying what DJ told me, you say what God told me, because we're talking about God and His righteousness, His righteousness. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Here we go. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So Paul here, and he's talking to the brethren there at Colossae, of course, and he's found this passage acknowledging that the brethren there at Colossae had received Christ. And further, he goes to exhort them to do what? Continue walking with Christ. And he gives such descriptive words like being rooted, like that of being built up in Christ, established in the faith. And again, that word abounding. Those are very, I think, key words, very important that we note that. Because when Paul says like the word established, when he uses that word, the word is defined as making firm. It's about making something stable. To introduce and cause to grow, to cause to multiply, to be found or build or bring into being a firm or stable basis. That's how that word established is defined. And again, we ask that question, how are we to be firmly established in our faith unless we put in the effort and take the time that is necessary to know the righteousness of God? So we need to ask that question on how well we know God, how well do we know His righteousness? Well, I think it's important that we actually go and we look what the Hebrew writer says about faith. Hebrews 11, I'm going to submit to you verses 1 as well as verse 6. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and verse 6. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. I believe that that's important, that we understand the whole diligence part of that too. Because friends, I'm going to submit to you that it's not simply an intellectual pursuit. This is not just some kind of educational quest that we're on. But rather, it's about a pursuit of truly knowing the Lord and His righteousness and applying said word to our lives to be right in His sight. That's what it's about. This is about taking God's holy and divine word, and we allow that said word to do as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What does he say about the word of God? Familiar passage to us, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Y'all see that part? Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want you to notice there in verse 16 that the Word of God is for instruction in righteousness. This obviously lends itself to the point of the constant process of growth or maturity being established, abounding. That's what it's doing. Now, if you are reading from the New American Standard Version, you might find the word training in righteousness. That might be the terminology you might see there, the translation. And again, when you look back to the Greek, you're going to find that that word has to do with training. It has to do with discipline, which refers to that discipline or instruction used to train a person in the way that is right. That's right. But who defines what's right? That's a good question, isn't it? So think about this. Even the word training or instruction, it's not just limited, obviously, as to we know in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You also find it used in other scriptures. The very idea that's given in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We'll talk more about this throughout this week in one of the particular lessons we're going to be engaging in regarding the home. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 refers to bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It has to do with training, doesn't it? The idea presented here, as we see with our children, who we provide training, we provide instruction, which I think, as parents, I think we understand that's a continuous process, isn't it? That is a continuous process as they grow from a child to an adult and continues even then as we live before them and as we model even our lives before them and all that we taught them and we continue to teach them. I want my children to be trained or instructed in such a way that when something comes up against them, they will have a natural response to do what is right. Not because daddy said it's right, not because mommy said it's right, but because I took them to the Word of God and I showed them that it's right because God said it's right. That's the problem that we run into in our nation. That's the problem we have in the world. Is everyone's defining what is right in their own eyes. And that has caused such a mess, hasn't it? Because when you look at it, this is what God our Father desires of us, His children. He wants His children to do what's right in His sight as our Father. Friends, knowing God and His righteousness, it is so important. It is so important. Paul tells us even in the next verse, in verse 17, in every aspect of our lives, our relationships, the Bible equips us, making certain we are properly furnished, that we are properly supplied as we journey here upon this earth. You know, I thought about when Kenzie and I, when we plan our vacations, we go through all the necessary checks on the car. You know, we pack all the necessary items, and so that we would be fully equipped for our journey, wherever that may take us that particular year. Especially, of course, with children, you had to make sure you have a lot more things. And we learned that real quick in a hurry with the first child. But God's Word equips us for living this life. The Word of God prepares us for dealing with the struggles of this life. I want you to notice also the point of being adequate, fully equipped, okay? It's so that we may be prepared or ready for what? Every good work. See, Kenzie and I didn't just check to make sure that we had everything packed, that we had everything ready, that all of the necessities were there for a long journey just so we could park in the driveway. You see, that's not the way that works. See, that just don't make sense, does it, when you say that? We did all this stuff so we can just pack and get the car loaded up, get everybody ready, and we're just going to sit in the driveway. That's what we're going to do. We actually need to go somewhere. And that's true with the Christian life. We've got to go somewhere. We got things we need to be doing. We don't just study the Word of God that we can know some interesting stuff, but we study the Word of God so we can do things. So we can be prepared for every good work, as the passage says. And God's Word gets us ready to actually do the things that we need to do, and reason being, so we can actually be pleasing to Him, the Father who we are children of. When we talk about knowing God, and we talk about the importance of knowing His righteousness, it relates to our spiritual strength. It relates to our spiritual vitality. That's what the passages make very, I would say, abundantly clear. That it has to do with the desire we need to have for such growth. So much so that we desire the Word of God, as 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 even tells us, as newborn babes desire the pure or sincere milk of the Word, that you may what? Grow thereby. Again, you see the words. It says grow. It's a hunger, it's a thirst that we have for His righteousness that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. So that we can what? Be filled. Friends, the issue in the days of old, and still an issue of our time today, is that there's no desire for more knowledge, which in turn stunts our growth, which in turn we lack the nourishment needed. And you can go in a passage that's, again, another familiar, Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, right? The parable of the souls, the four souls that we know very well, I'm sure. Jesus was bringing home the point about the heart, the importance of a good and honest heart, which the seed being implanted within may grow, may flourish, be fruitful. Friends, when we lack that nourishment, when we don't know His righteousness and those very important things that we are to emulate, have in our lives, we are not able to reach our potential in Christ. When I think of this spiritual stunning of growth by our own lack of, or in not reaching or attaining knowledge and application of God's righteousness, I think of the bonsai tree. You know, I'm sure we've all seen a bonsai tree at some point or another. Do you know how the bonsai tree came into existence? We all say, well, God, you know, actually, you know, He makes all things. But actually, the way the bonsai tree, yeah, I think is an illustration of this. It's a tree that the Japanese introduced to the world. It measured in inches instead of feet, as other trees are measured. It's a very interesting tree. It's not allowed to reach anywhere near its full growth potential, but instead it grows in a stunted miniature form. You kind of get that imagery in your mind. So if you, next time you see a bonsai tree, you'll think about this lesson. That's kind of what I do in my lessons. I try to throw something out there so when you see something, you'll think about this. Hopefully you will. But the reason for it growing in stunted form is that when it first stuck its head out of the ground, this is pretty interesting, as a sapling, the owner would take it and pull it up, okay? pull it up out of the soil and would tie off the main tap root and some of its branch feeder roots and then would replant it. And by doing this, what the grower did was deliberately stun its growth by limiting the root's ability to spread out and grow deep and take in enough of the soil's nutrients for normal growth. You'll see where this is going. You get that image in your mind in relation in how one does that to their faith, to the knowledge of God's righteousness today. They're tying off the tap roots. That's what they're doing. And they're saying that's enough. They're saying that's the level that they are good with. And that's not right. We cannot be right in the sight of God if we are determined to remain spiritually mature. And the danger that Paul brings out in Romans chapter 10, if you noticed it there, and again, we're going to talk more about that this week as we go on. But he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, what happens? When we're ignorant of God's righteousness, what do we tend to do? We're going to substitute our own righteousness and we're going to do what we think is right in our own eyes. Not submitting to the righteousness of God is what happens. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Now, I'm going to submit to you also this week, no one has ever accused D.J. Dickerson of not using enough scripture during a sermon. Ever. We're going to be getting our work out in the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. And again, just because it may be on the screen before you, I mess up sometimes there myself when I'm putting charts together. So again, make sure it's right in line with what the Word says before you, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice verses 13 down through verse 16. Paul is speaking of the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now go on with it. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, here we go, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In this passage, Paul is giving rhyme, he's giving reason as to the importance of knowing God's righteousness. When we don't know and we are deficient in our knowledge of the Lord and His righteousness, it goes back to that root system. Our root system is not digging deep. And with such, we will be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. This portrays one word that comes to my mind when I read this, and that word is instability. That's the word that I think of right off. Instability. Issues that affect not just us individually. It's not just us individually, but also it affects us collectively as members of the one body of Christ that he talks about there in that same passage. And so the exhortation is for us to grow up in all things. He didn't say some things. Sometimes we want to pencil that in our brains and says, you know, he wants us to just do it some things. It's in all things we grow up in him, who is the head, Christ. And why do we do that? Because it's for the edification of itself in love. And again, more about that in the future lessons. We are called upon to stand firm. And again, think about those words that we started out with, abounding, rooted, established in the faith. We are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. We are called to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude in verse 3 tells us. We are called to give an answer to anyone that asks us of the hope that lies within, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But how can we do it if we are not doing as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15? Now again, if you're using the New King James Version, you're going to see the word be diligent, right? When I quote this verse, I always quote King James Version. I grew up in the King James Version. Every time I quote a scripture, if you hear me this week and I quote a scripture, it's going to be in King James format, okay? It's going to be King James Version. That's just the way my brain has it's in there. But you're going to see these words. You see in King James Version, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? The idea again is the New King James says, be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Look what he says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And again, we noted earlier from the scripture of 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, that although we are to desire such word as newborn babes desire milk, God doesn't want us to remain babes in Christ because he's calling for growth. As a parent, I would be concerned if my child isn't growing and maturing. You know, you take them to the doctor a lot of times, right? As soon as they're born, you have all these follow-up appointments. And why do we do that? Because they start measuring, they start weighing, and they start doing all these things to make sure that they're on this scale, right? That they have this chart. And so we get concerned physically if they're not growing the way they should, or mentally developing, or all of those things. But friends, I'm going to submit to you, especially spiritually, some things that we miss out on. We're so concerned about all the physical things that we miss out on the spiritual things, don't we? Make sure all these other things are taken care of, but what about how well do we know God's righteousness? How well are we applying such to our lives and for our children again? There's concern of not knowing God's righteousness. There's concern of not growing and maturing in such. Hebrews chapter 5, I want you to notice verses 11 through 14. This warning, that's really not new information, I'm sure, to us. But Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 down through verse 14. The Hebrew writer says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Did y'all see that? For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Look at this warning. I'm sure that it's quite evident that from what we have seen already that God desires for us to progress. He's a God of progress, not digress. He wants us to become skilled in the word of righteousness, his righteousness. But one thing about that is that takes concerted effort to do that. It takes concerted effort to know his righteousness and apply. That takes effort. Digression, though, on the other hand, that's real easy to digress. It's real easy. It's quite a slippery slope, if you will. Kind of reminds me of that whole being tossed to and fro about the wind. You know, I remember my brother and I, we had been out there on the lake one time when we were kids, and my brother said that he had got the motor running on that boat that Dad had, and I trusted him. That was my first mistake. And so we got out there in the middle of the lake, and that motor quit. And then it got close to nightfall. And you know what happened? My brother says, we got a row. I'm like, no, that don't sound like something my old DJ wants to do. That sounds like a lot of work. But you know, if we wanted to get where we needed to be going, we needed to do what? We need to row. And we need to have purpose. We need to have concerted effort into getting where we need to go. Because otherwise, when we just sit there and we think about it, you know what's going to happen? That wind off of Toledo Bend was going to just start pushing us wherever we wanted to go. Well, not wanted to go, but land would have been nice somewhere. See, that's the spiritual imagery that I get a lot of times of what we do. We're not rowing. We're not putting the concerted effort in. We're not learning His righteousness. We're not applying His righteousness. And therefore, we're just, here we are. It's so easy to do. And there are numerous words that stand out to me. Like the phrase of dull of hearing. That's one that stands out to me. I'm just going to work through this one real quickly. Because really when you think about dull of hearing, you know what that means? It means being sluggish. It means being sluggish, or as some might translate it as lazy, you know? Not only have these people not been pushed on with their spiritual growth, they are content to be where they are. They're good with it. Again, Romans 10 and verse 3, what's it saying there? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. No one can make you want more for your spiritual life than you do. I want you to think about that. No one can make you want more for your spiritual life than you do. That is something that one has to determine on a personal level. And I'm going to ask you the question this morning, and throughout this series of lessons, you ask this question to yourself. Don't think about the person next to you. That's all I want you to do this week. Don't think about the person next to you. Don't think about somebody across the room. Think about yourself. Because when I was preparing these lessons, you know who DJ was thinking about? I was thinking about myself. Because DJ has to examine himself. DJ has to keep himself in the right perspective. These lessons are meant for DJ Dixon before they ever go to anyone else. You ask that question, do you want to know God's righteousness? How much righteousness do you want? It's up to each of us to decide that we want to be fully engaged in our spiritual lives, which begins with open eyes, open ears, with a heart that's ready to receive the good seed of the Word of God that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 13. Otherwise, all we're going to do is travel down the road apathetically, carelessly, and sadly, not only to our own detriment, but also to the detriment of others that we run into. Jesus said over and over again from Matthew chapter 13, He would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me give you another word. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Exercised. What do you think of when you hear exercised? Everybody's thinking, oh, here we go. It reminded me of something. It's actually a couple of years ago. I had found myself discussing my health and the need to exercise with my lovely wife, Kenzie. And it just so happened that not too long after that conversation that we found ourselves enamored with an infomercial featuring the Total Gym exercise machine. It's a pretty impressive machine. It just wasn't any just normal exercise machine. This one is known for its use and promotion by a famous person by that of Chuck Norris. And, of course, I had to explain to Kenzie, she's seven years younger than me, so I had to explain to her who Chuck Norris was. And then we did some contemplating, we figured the cost, and the order was made, right? And the day it came in, I got that thought. We got it all set up. We read the instructions, and more like Kenzie read the instructions for that matter. And then I jumped on the machine to start some exercise routines. I went ahead and started on that. And the pain, it was painful. That first workout was excruciating. And I would work out, and I would spend sometimes 30 minutes or more a day, and then went into every other day, and then became a great place to hang my clothes. I actually did a bulletin article on this, and I actually had the picture. It's actually on our website. You can see where my clothes were hanging on that. But would I say that because isn't that really how it goes so often in our lives? We get all worked up, and we talk about making some changes, and after committing a few things, we weren't as committed as we first thought we were. I watched Chuck Norris, and his age seems to be really good. He seems to be really healthy, seems to be fit. But just by purchasing the Total Gym exercise machine, and even just exercising a little, didn't make me into what he is. The problem comes, as with many things of life. I want you to think about that, especially spiritual, that we want results without putting things of effort. Additionally, we don't want the discomfort that comes from the effort that we put forth. We fail to do certain things, like whether we're talking about exercising or eating healthier, because it's not easy. It's not easy. Spiritually, we fail to become more like Christ each and every day because it takes concerted effort to know the righteousness of God. We need to know it. To exercise physically, it really takes discipline. And yes, even encouragement to keep it up. The results that one will see will be due to the amount of effort that's actually put in. And the results that one will see spiritually, it's the same. It's the same. Yet it is more detrimental than just for one's own physical fitness and overall physical healthiness. You see, interestingly, we can see the decline in physical health at times and fitness as a result of lack of discipline. Such will carry with it. We'll talk about signs. We'll talk about symptoms of shortness of breath, doing laborious task, some cases not so laborious task, muscles not meeting the potential that they can or should. Spiritually, I want you to think about this. Can we also see the results of a lack of discipline in regards to our spiritual health and fitness? Due to the lack of desire for the Lord, the lack of desire for His Word, we have become slothful, we become lazy, which results in no growth, no maturity, and friends, no strength. What are all those passages that we just talked about? Y'all see it? It's all there, isn't it? And so we have to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, we have to prove our own selves. How often do we exercise our senses? How often are we trained by constant practice to discern both good and evil? How often do we study the Word of God? Because you know what? That's where His righteousness is revealed. Didn't we see that in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1? It's right here. We might say, do I see signs or symptoms that results in that we don't have the energy and the stamina to even seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness that Matthew 6 and verse 33 says that we're to seek first? Have we found ourselves not able to walk upright due to lack of use of our spiritual muscles? Our spiritual muscles that are taken for granted. That just like our physical muscles, if they're not used, we will lose what little we may have due to what's called muscle atrophy. That's medical terminology, muscle atrophy. Some examples of this. The parable of the talents. The one talent man, he didn't use what he had been given. And since he didn't use it, what happened to it? He lost it. Matthew 25. When conversations about exercising comes up, I can talk about how I have the Total Gym, which I don't have no more. I sold it, but that's another story. But it's not being used for what it was intended for. People do that with the Bible all the time. They have numerous Bibles in their home, as well as a Bible application on their smartphone, maybe their tablets and all those things. But if it's not used for what it is intended for, then what good is it doing for the one who possesses it? You see, the results that one will see spiritually will be due to the amount of effort put forth. Do you want to know God's righteousness? You see the importance of knowing God's righteousness? It's important to reiterate this as we realize that no matter how healthy we are physically, we will still die. That's what Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says. It is appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Prove it for yourself, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't strive to eat healthy and exercise physically? No, I'm not saying that. That's valuable. Benefits, that's there. But I'm talking about those things only impact this life. When we're talking about spiritual, knowing God's righteousness and the importance thereof, that translates into eternity. And we can't forget that one, for sure. That translates into eternity, far beyond when this physical body is put to the ground. The effort we put forth toward our spiritual fitness and spiritual health will have an eternal bearing. The Apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Friends, it takes a commitment and determination to know God's righteousness so one can be Christ-like. It means putting the hand of the plow and not looking back, as Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. It means, as a psalmist would say in Psalm 15, about walking uprightly, actively. It's about practicing righteousness, as 1 John 3 also talks about. So we ask the question, why are there so many who are unhealthy spiritually? Why are there so many going their own different ways and doing their own different things? Why? The same principle as mentioned for those physically unhealthy, it's the same principle that's there. It is due to the lack of effort. And again, we say we want to know God's righteousness. We're going to have to, again, I can say I want to know. But do I really want to know? Do I really want to apply it? Because if I don't desire to be healthy, I'm not going to change any of my habits. I'm not going to change anything. If I don't have a desire to be spiritually healthy, I'm not going to change my eating habits, only indulge in the junk food the world it serves up. And whatever DJ thinks righteousness is, I'm going to just take on whatever thing, whatever makes me feel good, whatever seems right in my own eyes. And even due to the inactivity of such, all that I did will atrophy. It's going to go to waste. And again, I hope that we can see the importance of our spiritual health. And throughout this week, we're going to have some checkups, okay? We're going to have some checkups on our spiritual health. The exercise, the nourishment that God's righteousness will bring to our spiritual lives, as Paul would tell the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Daily, it's being renewed. My time's probably about to run out, so I'm going to get to the conclusion here. And again, hopefully this lesson starts us off in the right direction. I hope it has for you to see where we're going and what Paul is bringing out in Romans chapter 10. But let me submit to you in these concluding thoughts. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forget your children." This verse echoes in 2023 today. Due to the lack of knowledge of God's righteousness, the foundations crumble as false doctrine is accepted. Temptation overtakes. One is not effectively teaching others to fulfill the mission of the church that's outlined. Knowledge of God's righteousness is power. And statistics have proven this over and over and over again, that the Bible is true. You can go and look at those studies. There's a lot of them that's out there of why it's important to stick to God's righteousness. So friends, when it comes to spiritual practices, Christians need to get their priorities straight. Paul said the scriptures are profitable for instructing in righteousness, as we saw. And the evidence of that bears such out. And if we're going to be what God so desires of us, then it's of utmost important necessity that we understand and know God and His righteousness, and for such to actually be demonstrated through our lives and in our character. This must be personal to each and every one of us. Not just something wished into existence. Just as a plant, the plant's roots need to be planted firmly, established, sinking deep into that nurturing soil, and the imagery that that gives us, the sunlight, the water that's necessary for them to effectively grow, and that's our faith. That's our faith. So it's my hope and prayer that we'll always strive to know God's righteousness, that we'll be trained by it, and that we will do it. Friends, again, I thank you so much. The importance, as we'll talk about this theme throughout this week, the righteousness of God. And that's the class I have for you this morning. Thank you so much.